Well, thank you so much, worship team and children, as you go off and have time in the Word with those adults who are lovingly pouring into you. May it be a wonderful time. So good to be back here at Crossway International Baptist Church. For those of you who do not know me, Steve Dye is my name, and 24 years ago, our family moved to the city of Berlin, and the desire, the prayer was to start a church, an international church, and we would tell people that we were going to go plant a church, and my daughter had this, you know, she was really little, the oldest daughter at that point, Ashley. She had this notion that we were actually going to go almost like a farming family and dig up the soil and start planting a church. But we didn't do it that way, but by God's grace, something did happen. God did plant and establish this church, and we look around at you now and we say, praise be to the Lord. We say, praise be to the Lord when we consider what He is doing with Fellowship Potsdam. And, you know, it is really wonderful now being away these 11 months. I really think of what Paul said when he was writing to the church in Corinth. He said that he boasted about the church to the people of Macedonia because of their faithfulness and their giving. And we're not in Macedonia, we are in Ohio, and I'm boasting about you to the people of Ohio. So that's where we are living now, in the state of Ohio. How many of you have even heard of the state of Ohio? Okay, many of you have. It's not one of the destination points if you're going to go visit America, but you are welcome to come and visit us, the state of Ohio. And I'm actually at a university there. But before I maybe mention that, I think we put a picture of the family here. The family is growing. I mentioned the oldest daughter, Ashley. She was just a little girl when we moved over here. Now married, three children. She and Nate have three children, a fourth one on the way. And then the next one down, some of you old timers will remember David. David is married to Rachel. And they have a baby on the way, coming in the fall. The next one down is Isaac. Isaac's married to Sadie. They have a little guy, Luca. And actually, Isaac now is a pastor in the church that we are attending in Springfield, Ohio. So our son Isaac is our pastor now. That's kind of crazy. And then the next one down is Abby. And Abby is married to a guy named Paul. They're doing well. And then our little guy, who's not so little anymore, Zach. Zach is the only one who was born in the city of Berlin. So he has that distinction. And so serving at this university in Ohio, Cedarville University, overseeing Christian ministries. And then there's a team that is with us. And we are just excited to serve you here this week, both through the children's camp and also the youth retreat. So wonderful, Crossway, to be back with you. And the elders let me just jump right into the series that they are doing. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go right into Hebrews chapter 3. And we have already read that, but I don't think it will hurt to read it yet one more time. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. So go ahead and join me there. Open up the Word of God, and let's look at what our Lord is going to say to us through this passage. Once again, therefore, holy brothers and sisters, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. May we hear the word of the Lord. Our Lord, we do desire to hear your word today. Thank you for this wonderful letter. And we thank you that the church now is setting aside these weeks to focus on this letter and what you would want to teach us in this letter. We do pray that we would consider Jesus. That is what we desire to do. May we see Jesus today. We pray that we would have eyes that would see you. We would have ears that would hear what you would have to say to us in your word. That we would have hands and feet ready to do your will and hearts that are pliable and moldable. Oh God, we dedicate this time to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So what we're going to do, we're going to just start off by addressing this issue of who we are. And then we're going to move on to what is it that we are to do. So who we are and what are we to do? So number one, here we have it, and you probably noticed it already. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, you who share in a heavenly calling. So this describes who we are. We are holy brothers, and you notice that I said sisters as well. Probably you have a little footnote. The word is adelphoi, and that means brothers and sisters, and we are holy. Those of us who have come to saving faith in Christ, it is okay. You don't have to achieve sainthood to be called holy. Do you realize that? If you are a follower of Jesus, a genuine believer, you, the Bible says, you are holy. So you are set apart. That's what that word means, and many of us know this. But I think we need the reminder, right? A set apart from the world to God. So there's just something about us. There's one translation I like. It says that we are a peculiar people. Now, it doesn't mean that we're weird and obnoxious, offensive. But there is something about we're different. And that's okay. That's the way it should be. We are set apart from the world to God. That is who we are. And then we are sharers in the heavenly calling. Isn't that kind of a cool description? We are all, I look at you, my fellow brothers and sisters, we are sharers in the heavenly calling. Now, one of the first things, if you live here, of course, you need to take German, right? And I remember very early on in German class, one of the phrases I learned was, Was sind Sie von Beruf? Okay? I learned that right away. And you got to be careful. You don't want to ask that, you know, as the first question. But that's a question that comes up. And I think we all know what that means. So what is your vocation, right? But literally, do you realize what that means? That word is a very special word, Beruf. It's calling. What is your calling? The calling is the idea of one's chosen path in life. And do you realize that your calling, more important than your Beruf, your vocation, your occupation, is you're a sharer with me in the heavenly calling. You received a call from heaven, from God, to become his child and your chosen path in life, not chosen by you, but chosen by God, is a path that leads back toward heaven. You're a stranger and a sojourner on earth, on this journey toward heaven. The call came from heaven, and it's leading you back to heaven. You have a heavenly calling. And Colossians 3:2 says that we are to set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. I remember a few years ago, I had some back trouble, and I was in the States, you know, visiting on a furlough, met up with a chiropractor, and he said, "What? Aren't you supposed to be a pastor?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm a pastor." He said, "I can tell by the way your back is messed up, you're looking down too much. I mean, I know you're supposed to be studying, but aren't you supposed to be praying and looking up? And so you need to be looking up more. That is your problem." And so I remembered what the chiropractor said, and now I walk around Berlin. When I came back, I would walk around Berlin doing prayer walks, looking up. And in a physical sense, there's some reality to that, but figuratively, we all need to be looking up, right? We have a heavenly calling. The call came from heaven, and it's leading us back to heaven. As the song that we sang earlier, lift up our eyes. We have a heavenly calling, and we are sharers in that heavenly calling. We share that together. And sometimes we need to be reminded of our heavenly calling, right? Because we just go through life, and there are just so many problems in life. And we sort of start walking by sight and no longer by faith. And that is why we need our brothers and sisters to help us along. We're sharers together in this heavenly calling. And so that's who we are. We are holy brothers and sisters. We are sharers in this heavenly calling. Now, what is it that we are to do? And that's what we're going to be focusing on for the rest of our time here. What are we to do? And it's very simple, yet not so easy sometimes to live out. These two words, what are we to do? Consider Jesus. That's really the focus of the rest of the message. Consider Jesus. Now, this is for believers. Remember, it starts off holy brothers and sisters. This is for believers. So now non-believers, they are to consider Jesus, but this is especially for believers. We are to consider Jesus. It's in the aorist tense in Greek. It's something that happened in the past that has ongoing practice. So it happened, you considered Jesus when you first came to saving faith in Christ, but there's an ongoing practice of considering Jesus. This is not just a quick look. This is an attentive, thoughtful look, beholding, continually looking to Jesus. And that looking, that beholding shapes our mind and behavior. It's similar to the idea of what we saw in chapter 2, verse 1. We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. It's a little bit like, maybe this will help us, I have in my pocket here, don't leave home without it when you're traveling, a compass, okay? And does anyone know, by the way, so this compass, it's always going to be oriented which way? North. Does anyone know which way north is? Anyone want to try? Now, I'll tell you what, this doesn't seem right, actually. Okay, did someone say this way? Okay, I have it going this way, but it could be that I don't have it completely level. But if this thing were working like it should, we know it is always going to be oriented toward the north, right? It just keeps going back to the north, over and over again. And this is how we are. We are to consider Jesus. Is it that way? Okay, nice. All right. We are to keep being oriented toward Jesus over and over again, continually, 24/7 through the day, even when you wake up in the night. Oh, you're about Jesus. Consider Jesus. And there are some specific things that our passage gives us that we are to consider when we consider Jesus. Number one, we are to consider him, and we find this in verse 1, our apostle and high priest. That's interesting, isn't it? Apostle and high priest. Let's talk about the apostle one, first of all. It's the only time in the New Testament that Jesus is given the title apostle. Okay? We're only going to find it here. And apostle means one who is sent, specifically sent by God. And there are several places, especially in the book of John, where we read that God sent Jesus. And Jesus talks about this. I'm not going to read all of them. I can't. I'm just going to mention a few of them. John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. John 3:34, for whom God has sent utters the words of God. John 3:5-36, for the very words that I am doing bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. John 5:38, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. John 6:29, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. John 7:29, I know him, for I come from him. He has sent me. John 8:42, I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. John 10:36, the Father consecrated me and sent me into the world. John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So we get the idea, right? Jesus was the one sent by God. He is the ultimate apostle. God sent Jesus. Otherwise, how could we get to God? How could we come to God? There's no way. We wouldn't know the way, right? So the only way that we could get to God is because God sent his son Jesus. And by the way, don't forget, remember what Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. We are also sent ones. The Father sent the Son. The Son says to us, those who are his followers, so send I you. That's the reason that our team is here this week. That's the reason that we are trying to, by God's grace, get the gospel out to people, because we are sent one. So he is our apostle, and he's also our high priest. Now, did you notice that the text opens up with therefore, therefore? And whenever you see a therefore, you must ask, well, what is it therefore? And usually it means that it's pointing back to something, and it's pointing back. We've already learned a little bit about Jesus being the high priest. Remember Jack's message last week, Hebrews 2:17, Jesus had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. And then it's like a hinge. The therefore looks back, but the therefore looks forward. In a little bit, in a few weeks, we're going to read in Hebrews chapter 4 that Jesus is the great high priest. And then we're going to come to Hebrews 7, verse 25, and we're going to read that Jesus always lives to intercede for us. Jesus is our go-between. He's the one who offered himself as a sacrifice for our sin, so that we can be reconciled to God. And he continues to intercede on our behalf before the Father. Aren't you so glad that you have a high priest? It's what he did that allows you to be reconciled to God, but it wasn't finished there. He continues to intercede for you. As our apostle, Jesus is God's representative to us. As our high priest, Jesus is our representative to God. As our apostle, Jesus is the word from God. As our high priest, Jesus is our way to God. Aren't you so glad that we have an apostle and a high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ? And then that's what it says right here, that this is our confession. Okay? We're supposed to confess this, that Jesus is our apostle and high priest. What's our confession? Well, we should be confessing that Jesus is our apostle and high priest. So let's confess it right now. Let's say it together. We confess that Jesus Christ is our apostle and high priest. Amen? Amen. So not only are we to consider that, we are to consider that he was faithful like Moses. Verse 2, he was faithful like Moses. Now, I just Googled this. I was curious. Here's literally what I Googled. For Jews, who is the greatest person? I Googled that. Here's the AI answer. This is the first answer that came up. I'll just read it word for word. For many Jews, Moses is considered the greatest figure. He is revered as the lawgiver of Israel by delivering the Torah, including the Ten Commandments, to the Israelites at Mount Sinai. Some may also consider Abraham. Abraham, according to the AI answer, is like in second place. But for Jews, the GOAT, the greatest of all time, is Moses. Okay, and for these people who were enamored by going back to the Mosaic system, this was a huge thing for them. Moses. And so what our word tells us here is that, yes, Jesus was faithful like Moses. This is not diminishing Moses' faithfulness. He was, you could say, the most faithful person of all time. Now, we have to say, like John the Baptist, because Jesus himself said that. He was the greatest born among women. But maybe second to John the Baptist, right? So he was faithful, and I think what the writer is doing here is he's telling us that he was faithful both as an apostle and a high priest. Moses sort of functioned that way. Moses functioned like an apostle. Remember, he was sent by God to deliver the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt and to lead them into the promised land. He faithfully led the people through the wilderness amid their grumbling and their disobedience. He also functioned like a high priest. Even though Aaron was the official high priest, Moses often functioned that way. Remember the story of Aaron and the Israelites rebelling and making the golden calf? It was Moses who intercedes before God on behalf of the people. Remember the time when the people rebelled against God after the negative words of the 10 spies? Once again, it was Moses who acted like a high priest going before God on behalf of the people. And God himself recognized the faithfulness of Moses. There's just a beautiful passage in Numbers 12. It says this, starting with verse 6, and he said, "Hear my words." This is God talking. "Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house." So did you pick up on that? That's exactly the wording that we have here in our text in Hebrews. It goes back to Numbers 12. "He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly and not in riddles. And he beholds the form of the Lord." Imagine that. What would that be like as a mere human being to behold the form of the Lord? That was Moses. He was set apart for his faithfulness in all of God's house. Now, when we see God's house here, we might think a building. But we're going to find out later. We'll find out later in verse 6. We are God's house. So God's house is the people of God. Some of you maybe have watched some of that Amazon Prime series, The House of David. It's not talking about a physical house, right? It's like the people of David, the family of David. And that's what we have right here. This is the people of God, God's house. And when it comes to God's house and someone who's faithful, there was no one like Moses. And by the way, we should say this, never underestimate the power of faithfulness. You know, it just seems kind of boring just being faithful. I remember when I first started dating Becky and I talked to her dad, who was a pastor, and I just said, "Hey, you know, what are some lessons you can pass on to me?" And he said, "Son, I just want to be," I wasn't his son yet. He said, "Steve, I just want to be faithful." I remember thinking, "Oh, that's kind of lame. I want to be more than faithful." Well, now, as I'm an old guy, that's exactly what I, Lord, I want to be faithful. faithfulness. So when it comes to faithfulness, there was no one quite like Moses. But as faithful as he was he perfect in his faithfulness? No, he also disobeyed. He lost his temper, and because of his disobedience, he couldn't take the people into the promised land. But we have someone who is perfect in his faithfulness. And our Jesus, the perfect one, tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin, he will lead us into the ultimate promised land, our heavenly home. Amen? That's the one that we serve. So as faithful as Moses was, we're serving one who's even more faithful. And then also we are to consider that he is greater than Moses. And so we've already kind of led into that. But he was faithful like Moses, but he is far greater than Moses. We learned in our last chapter that he's greater than the angels, and now we're going to learn that he's greater than Moses. Because remember that Moses is viewed by these readers as being the greatest of all time. And one of the reasons Hebrews is written is to show the superiority of Christ in the new covenant over Moses in the old covenant. Both the angels and Moses were mediators of the old covenant, but Christ, Jesus, is the mediator of the new covenant. And so the writer of Hebrews, there are three ways he gives us in which Moses was far inferior to Jesus. These are three ways that Jesus is far greater than Moses. Number one, Moses is a member of the house, but Jesus is the builder of the house, right? The house of God, the people of God. And by the way, we see this idea of the house of God being the people of God. I love this passage. 1 Peter 2, 4, and 5 says that we are the living stones being built up as a spiritual house. And in Moses, though he's one of the most prominent members of that spiritual house, he is still but a member. 1 Peter 2, 5 goes on and says, we, the living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the builder. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Now, it is really special. I can't tell you how special it is after all these years to come back, having been the lead pastor in our team that planted this church, to come back and see the church going on. But I am so reminded, it is so not about that church planting team or me as the leader. Not about that at all. Christy's the only one from that team that is still here, but it's not about Christy either. Praise God. It's about Jesus Christ, who is the builder of the house of God. May we not forget it. Jesus Christ, this is your church. Every single local church here in the city of Berlin, under your headship, it's yours in Europe, in the world, past, present, future, Jesus. It's you. You are the builder of the house of God. Even the most prominent person, Moses, was a mere member. So Jesus is greater than even Moses. And then number two, Moses is a servant in the house, but Jesus is the son of the house. Now, don't miss the significance once again. When we say Moses was a servant, that is precious. Remember we talked about how Moses was faithful? Moses is a servant. And that is also one of the best things that could be said of you. I find this moving. I don't know if you, when I open up Joshua 1, I read this and it, like, tears come to my eyes when I read this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, my servant, is dead. Isn't that just a precious thing? Moses, my servant, is dead. Wouldn't it just be amazing? I get to the end of my life and God raises up someone to follow me and he sort of figuratively tells that person, Steve, my servant is dead. Now, buddy, you pick it up and you go. Yeah, what a precious thing to be a servant of the Lord. So that's no small thing. Don't miss that. What an honor to be known as a servant of the Lord. But Jesus is more than a servant in the house. He is the Son of the house. Isn't that amazing? He's the Son. As believers, we're a son or a child of God, but He is the one and only Son of God. Jesus, as the firstborn Son of God, is the rightful owner of the house. He is the Lord over the house. He provides for the house. And isn't this an amazing thing? If you are a believer, do you realize that you are a co-heir with Jesus, who is the Son of the house? You have an inheritance coming that is imperishable, incorruptible, unfading, kept in heaven for you. All that is Jesus is yours as you are a co-heir with Him. But make no mistake, it's not about you, it's about Him. He is the Son. Moses, a servant in the house, Jesus, the Son. And then Moses wrote of what was to come, but Jesus is the fulfillment of what was written. See, Jesus says this in John 5:45, if you believe in Moses, you would believe in me, for he wrote of me. So we're going to learn later in Hebrews 10:1, what Moses wrote was a shadow of the good things to come. Okay, just a shadow of the good things to come. He's projecting forward, and then the fulfillment of it all is Jesus. So it'd be a little bit like this. I have a candle here. Just imagine it's a sunny day. We all turn around and I go outside and I light this candle as I'm in front of the blazing sun. You're not going to notice this candle, right? In front of the blazing sun. And that's a little bit how it is with Moses in comparison to the glory of the light of Jesus. God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And then finally, here's our last one. Consider the importance of holding fast to our confidence and hope in him. That, the last verse there, we are God's house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Isn't that interesting? We like to boast about different things. Have you ever boasted about your hope in the Lord? So there's that if statement, okay? If we are in God's house, what does that mean? Does that mean that we can get booted out of God's house once we're in God's house? If you mess up, you're getting booted out. God's word makes it very clear that once we are a true believer, we are always saved. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all. No one can pluck them out of my Father's hand. You might say, well, maybe I can jump out of his hand. Well, Isaiah takes care of that. Isaiah 40 says that God has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. Could you jump out of the ocean if you're in the middle of the ocean? No way. He's got you, okay? So I want to remember that. Now, this is a warning, and it can mean, John talks about, 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, then they would have continued with us. But the fact that they went out shows that they were not part of us. Well, that can be possible. There can be people who it's like they're making a profession, but it's not the real thing. That's possible. Another possibility is you can lose fellowship. I heard about a missionary, friends of ours, they had a son who when he was 16 years old, he went off the path, rebelled. And it wasn't until he was 30 years old he came back to Jesus. But this man, he would say, even during that time when I was running from God, I was a true believer because I was convicted of sin. So what we can be assured of is this. We don't need to be afraid. Oh, no. What if I don't hold fast? That is not the idea behind this. Because remember that song that we sing, He Will Hold You Fast? That was written by a lady named Ada Harbershin back in the early 1900s. She wrote it to encourage a believer who is afraid that his faith would fail. And so that's a beautiful song for us when we think about our faith failing. And that song is based on God's word. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, he will hold us fast. So here at the end of our sermon, I just want to say, may we consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Not just a quick glance every now and then. Not just considering him the few days when we come to church or a house Christ. May we have this constant beholding of him. He is like no other. He alone is worthy of all glory. May we not allow anyone else or anything else to block our beholding of him. May we look to Jesus. If you're not a follower of Jesus, consider Jesus as the one sent by God to save us from our sin. If you're a believer, keep considering Jesus. If you're backsliding, come back to Jesus. He is the final word from God and the way to God. And when we go to God and find our way in him, we find both abundant life and eternal life. He is the builder of the people of God. He is the one and only Son of God. He is the one who holds us fast. Consider Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, our Lord, how we want to consider you. Lord, we thank you that you are greater than anyone or anything. May we turn from anything from that which keeps us from considering you. May we continually consider you and turn our eyes toward you. May you work in our midst. May you build up disciples in Christ here who present him to the nations. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. What a joy it has been to worship with you today. Greetings once again to each one of you, and looking forward to getting to interact with you. There'll be a time of fellowship after, and also for those of you who want to know more about the church or want to consider becoming a member, there's a membership ministry class on the room just off the foyer there. Those of you, in addition to the Cedarville team, the other teams who are with us, welcome to you, and may the Lord use you mightily as you go forth in this wonderful city of Berlin. So we go out with these words. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Der Herr segne dich und behüte dich. Der Herr lasse sein Angesicht leuchten über dir und sei dir gnädig. Der Herr erhebe sein Angesicht auf dich und gebe dir Frieden. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Walk with the Lord and be a blessing to others.